emergency room, commit to keeping it for 5 years. So this is a real gain, folks. It shows that we can actually do something, that we can spark a resistance to getting rid of something like the emergency room, do something favorable for Sedona. So I want to thank everybody who participated in that. That campaign did work, and we've had others that have worked.
The Democratic perspective is just a very powerful entity. Let's face it.
That's Klaus von Studerheim, who's on one of the lines. Klaus, good morning.
Morning.
All right. And Klaus is calling in from Camp Verde. And we have a guest today, John Lutz, who's running for county supervisor over in District 1, over in the Prescott area. I think that district, John, what all does it include? It includes Prescott and a lot of areas to the west and south of the
Yes, that's correct. It's it includes most all of downtown Prescott and Prescott City proper, but it doesn't include anything in the northern sort of part of Prescott where there's a lot of growth going on. But it does include all the way out to Baghdad and all the way down to North Peoria.
So, John, you're like a third generation Arizonan?
Well, I actually moved to Arizona in 1975 to attend NAU Forestry School, and that's where I got my environmental education, was at NAU. I have three generations of my family living in Prescott now. My daughter lives here, and my granddaughter lives here. My wife's parents also convalesced here they were actually from New Jersey, but they convalesced and passed here. So there's been four generations in the area.
Living in the area.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that John is also the chair of the Democratic, of the County Democratic Party, right, yeah. John?
Yes, I am. I'm the Democratic Party chair for Yavapai County. I assumed that role in 2019 and 2020.
Ben Furlong, who was chair of the Democratic Party, Yavapai Democratic Party, a couple of chairs back used to say that being in Prescott was like being in Colorado Springs in terms of the conservativeness of the area. Do you find that still true, or is the area changing?
The area is changing, but it's still remaining red. There's been actually more Republican registrations in Yavapai County than Democratic registrations in recent years. So the Republicans still in Yavapai County hold a 2-to-1 advantage over Democrats.
That's pretty sizable, John. So you've been chairman of the Democratic Party for a while. What led you to actually run for office in District 1?
I lost my mind. No.
Yeah.
sorry. I felt like one of my big struggles as chairs was, for one thing, it was getting people to run for office. It's been hard because we've had some good Democratic campaigns in recent years. Here we had Jeannie Wilcox run for the mayor, and we thought that was a well-run campaign. We had David Brill run for Gosar's seat, and we thought that was a well-run campaign. Also, like Joe Craycraft ran for state legislature, and we thought that was a well-run campaign. And none of those candidates made it, and none of those candidates made it by, you know, much of different margins than, you know, we had seen before. They mostly lost like 70-30, you know. And so I decided that, you know, if nobody else, why not me? Why am I not running for office? I felt like I had more personal capital than sort of anybody else I knew in town. And I thought I was, I'm 66 years old. I felt like I was willing to spend my personal capital with people I know and people that supported me here in town at this point in my life and see if I could do it. And, you know, frankly, you know, we haven't had Democratic representation on the Board of Supervisors for nearly 30 years, and it's time for a change. And hopefully Donna Michaels and I can make that change.
I think it's great that you're running. I mean, I think it, and I certainly hope that you manage to win. You're running. We usually don't talk much about people's opponent, but you're running against a guy who showed up at an Oath Keepers rally and gave a campaign speech. Is that correct?
Yes, he does. Yes. My opponent does meet with the Oath Keepers, quite a number of people involved in his campaign also meet with the Oath Keepers. And, you know, his main radio presence has been on the Glenn Martin show there, where, you know, they even have an Oath Keepers show and they announce the Oath Keepers meetings.
I think we should explain that the Oath Keepers is a sort of armed extremist group. You can go on the Southern Poverty Law website and find out all about them. They've been involved in a number of incidents. They've sent armed people to Ferguson in the middle of all the troubles there, and so forth and so on. So he really is that. He really is that linked to. I think it's important for folks to understand how far right and into conspiracy theories, because Oath Keepers is conspiracy theories all the way down.
It's hard to believe that intelligent people, even Republicans, would vote for somebody like that.
Go ahead, John.
Yes, it is. It's to me, it's a very extreme group, you know, and I guess I would call them, you know, vigilantes. But, you know, that's the kind of, reputation that it's probably not surprising that I get to run against, too. I mean, you know, Harry's his sort of attack on me was just that I was Democratic Party chair, and that it spelled out, you know, the typical hateful rhetoric about how horrible Democrats are and how wonderful Republicans are, and you know, so it all just seemed like a, you know, kind of a bunch of horse manure to me. So, and it has nothing to do with the office or, you know, any of the positions or anything that we would be, in control of as a member of the Board of Supervisors. It had, you know, so it just goes to show that, you know, he's running against me as simply as a Republican. And I think he believes he can probably win simply as a Republican. And, I'm not sure that I think that's true. I think that I have a lot of really good Republican friends here in town, and I think there are a lot of good Republicans in the area that are going to vote for me. And I feel like that I've pulled them in, and I feel like I have support among, people who are important in the town. So,
you've been in business a long time there, right, John?
I've differed on is support for the Justice Center. And I do support the county sheriff's position, both the outgoing county sheriff, Masher, and the incoming county sheriff, David Rhodes' position on continuing to build the Justice Center here in Prescott. I think it's very necessary for us, for public safety in the area and for the most economic use of our resources, both, you know, for a whole lot of reasons. And so Harry kind of has come out on a no. Everything, you know, he's kind of with the Citizens Tax Committee, which, you know, there's a certain, you know, half the Republicans here in town are on that side of things, and half of them are on the side of, you know, needing the Justice center. So I made that differentiation in our platforms, and I think it's gained me quite a bit of Republican support. His primary challenger supported the Justice Center, and also, you know, the county treasurer, Chip Davis, who is a Republican, but also, you know, worked for Tom O'Halloran before he became our county treasurer. And, and he's very much in support of my candidacy. And, Sheriff Rhodes and I have been talking about, what things we're going to work on together. So I'm feeling like I have a path. I would never say I was very certain that a Democrat can win here, but I think that I've made inroads that give me at least as good a chance as my opponent of winning this race.
John, should the supervisor's position actually even be nonpartisan? It's mostly local decisions about stuff. It's like being on the city council of the county, right?
It is. Deidre Abood has called it the U.S. Senate of the county, the Board of Supervisors, and she's running it in Maricopa for the Board of Supervisors. Yes, it's a very important office that people know very little about how much the county supervisors are in charge of. And it's, including grants, the budget is almost $300 million a year. That's, substantial, amount of your tax dollars and federal grant money and state grant money too. But, it's, the county sheriff's department and the county justice system is, a huge part of that budget. And, it's really important to our public safety in Yavapai County that the county government run efficiently and have the resources that they need. We support that, you hate to use the language that they use, but my opponent pretty much is, supporting what you would call defund the police, and I'm the one that supports giving the resources that we need to our public safety officials.
The reason I brought up the extreme right-wing nature of your opponent is because I know that, like you're saying, almost none of the big issues and all that dialogue and stuff and Trump and all this kind of really has much effect on the Board of Supervisors. But I did want people over here to understand the extreme nature of your opponent, so they got some sense of what you're up against. It's hard to see why even those national politics would enter into the decisions that you make as a Board of Supervisors, which is about water, right, and taxes and jails and that sort of thing. It's a very practical, a very practical position in a lot of ways.
I think in a lot of ways that's true. And, with the pandemic and, of course, this is something with having become the chair of the county party. I could have never predicted what 2020 would be like to be chair of the county party and what 2020 would be like to run as a candidate. We've had to adjust, so many of the ways that we do things and advance in the use of technology in both campaigning and in, running an efficient county party. I feel like we have accomplished that where we've, done all the outreach that we would need to do. But the County Board of Supervisors, this is in charge of community health services. And that is something that I think that we will, in the years that as we clean up from the pandemic, which hopefully we get a chance to do that in the very soon coming years, we're going to have to reassess, community health services and whether we're prepared thoroughly for this type of thing that to happen. You know, we kind of go along thinking this isn't going to happen. And yes, in Yavapai County, we've had good numbers. It's hard to say if that's going to stay that way or if we've just been isolated enough to change. You know, we did have, you know, our visit last week from the Donald, and that was 15,000 people in a, you know, unmasked conditions, and, you know, with it seems like, you know, quite a number of people that were traveling with the, you know, president could be spreading the disease. So I'm quite concerned about that, and also that our numbers are changing. You know, we went along in Yavapai County with two or three cases a day increase for months there, and now we're at 10 times that. We're adding 20 and 30 cases a day.
So the Trump rally, politics aside, was kind of a super spreader event for Prescott, right?
I would think it was. I mean, that's how I would view it. You know, we of course don't have any proof of that yet. It's too soon, you know, to have seen any actual effect, and you may never be able to tie, you know, anything directly to it. But as Democratic Party chair, you know, I've been very careful not to, and as a candidate, I've been very careful not to create any events in which any large numbers of people are gathered in a room that is, you know, not very, very easy to socially distance. In fact, we've only done things, you know, as far as me causing people to meet, it's been like 10 people or 15 people in an outside situation. For the most part, I've really not created any indoor events this entire year, which has made it hard for county party fundraising has been our major deficit. But luckily, I had great success in 2019 as far as our events were hugely successful. And we had a great budget coming into 2020, which we're, you know, able to spend to try and win this election on a national, state, and local level.
Klaus, did you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Going back to something you said earlier, can you explain what the Justice Center is? I don't know what that exactly means.
Oh, yeah. You know, back a couple decades ago, we closed the county jail. There's no city jail in Prescott. And we closed the county jail in Prescott and built the facility there in Camp Verde, over on you guys' side of the hill there. And that facility, at the time, they claimed that, you know, we would be able to save money by locating it over there and making one larger facility, but that involves the transport of all of the accused and inmates for trials and hearings back and forth over the mountain. So anytime someone's arrested here in Prescott, they're transferred to Camp Verde. That involves an officer or two making a 2-hour road trip and an hour check-in. So that takes 3 hours. Every time someone's arrested, it takes 3 hours of a, you know, a sheriff's deputy or a police officer's a day, which they could be on our streets on patrol in the time that they do all that. So, you know, there is no holding facility. There is no county jail in Prescott. So there's been a proposal in the works for more than a decade. It was almost a decade ago that they made the land trades for it and decided on the location to build a holding facility. It's 154 beds in Prescott, and that was turned down twice as the sales tax, which people were making kind of a big deal of because they feel like you know, people felt like you know, they had voted it down, and that, you know, that is all true. The thing that the County Board of Supervisors failed to do was to you know, make it public how they were financing it and let the public know, you know, exactly what steps they were taking to finance it, because they felt it was still necessary, even though, and it is still necessary, even though, you know, they, it was voted down in sales tax, because, you know, frankly, I don't think sales tax is the proper way. It's a regressive tax, and I don't think it's the proper way to pay for this type of facility. I think it should be paid for by property tax, and they levied a property tax increase on it, which amounts to $30 per $100,000 value a year in order to pay for the facility here. But the County Board of Supervisors was able to do that without a vote. And since they were able to do it without a vote, they kind of did it in a way that didn't seem transparent or accountable. They didn't let people know what they were doing, so people became outraged about it. But if they had been more accountable and transparent, then people would have known how they were financing it. And that's where the big outrage has come out about, you know, building it or not. But the thing that I like about the facility is that it includes two courtrooms. One courtroom is necessary right now. And the county's like at 235,000 people. And as soon as it crosses 250,000 people, which it will probably do in the next year, then another court is required, and so it'll build the courtroom for that $250,000 threshold, and the courts will be right there in the same building where a detainee can be walked down the hall into the courts, which I think that is just an amazing thing as compared to going on a three-hour ride, being checked into a different holding facility, and being paraded through downtown Prescott into the, you know, antique courthouse, which really isn't designed for the number of, you know, hearings or trials that, you know, we have now. The other thing that's going to be included is mental health care, and that'll be handled by at least four private companies, but they'll be right there. It'll also include, you know, offices for the county prosecutors and, you know, injustices and everything. So it's more than just a holding facility. And what I think I'm sure it'll do is that, you know, it involves the deferment from people from being incarcerated to be turned over into mental health care without being incarcerated or without extending their incarceration, because the help is going to be right there. And that will reduce the population that's in the county system, for mental health problems and also for drug and alcohol problems. And I think that that's really, really important that we, hold less people less time. And, you know, the county sheriff really is working on these programs, and it's actually doing a better job than anybody else in the state in doing it now. And it wants to continue to be able to do this where we aren't holding mentally ill in the county jail facility. They've reduced it by some like 40% over the last 3 years, and they intend to continue to do this. And he and I are talking about ways in which we can continue to do that. So I think those are really important parts. And, you know, just not transporting people back and forth over the hill for all their hearings and pretrial things and sentencing and all that kind of thing will result in people being held in incarceration for between 4 and 10 less days.
Well, that's an interesting.
What are the odds of this thing happening, do you think?
90%. Yeah, I mean, it's already being graded. It's been funded. You know, they're already they've signed the foundation contract. It's already been graded. The tax was implemented. The property tax to build it was implemented in 2019. So people are already paying the tax. For it not to happen, is sort of, you know, like Harry's advocating for, would involve a repeal of the tax. Not, you know, so the tax has already been implemented. So it's funded. And I, you know, my opinion is that we need to move on, because I think there's too many good things about the facility. And, you know, I don't really see, if I was on the other side of the mountain here would be is why, you know, be sending, you know, everybody that's arrested in Prescott to Camp Verde.
There's a lot of probably a lot of opposition to it over here. I don't know of any polling or anything, but one of your Democratic candidates who's running for supervisor in our area for Randy Garrison's seat is very much opposed to the jail. She calls it a jail because she says the county doesn't have the money to fund it. What's your response to that?
Well, it's been funded through the property tax, and you know my opinion is that it, you know the and you know they like to quote that the property taxes that they raised at 18%, and in a way you can construe that they've raised it 18% of what the county was able to you know raise their portion of the property tax. But that doesn't amount to 18% of the total property tax. It is only 3%, because other parts of the property tax are, levied by, you know, state and, local municipalities.
We're talking to John Lutz, who's, John is running for, county supervisor in District 1. Prescott area. He's the chair of the Yavapai Democratic Party, which is, I think, a very strongly organized party, right, John? I mean, I used to go over back in 2004 and meet with the party as a representative from a Sedona area, and I was impressed by the organization, given the fact that you're in such an extraordinarily conservative area.
I think we have model organization. We are often received the highest of praise from the Arizona Democratic Party and for our organization and for our activity. So I think we've been a powerful force. And yes, I think, you know, yeah, I would claim that it's a really well-organized party. And I inherited that from previous chairs, of course. I can't say that I created it on my own, but I did triple the fundraising in 2019 that had ever been done before. So, 2020 is a different story, but, I think we learned a lot of ways to grow events and to build our strength. And I think that, go on our website, yavdem.org. We have a beautiful and fabulous website, and, you know, we have a big Facebook presence, and we work very much in, coordination with other organizations here in town. We are, our Democratic Women's organization is a powerful organization into itself, so, and we all work together to accomplish our goals, and try and build here. So, and it's a difficult county to build in, but I think we've had great success. So
certainly over here in Sedona, there's been great success for the Democratic Party, we appreciate the support. I sometimes think that we've gotten a little too much separated on one side of the mountain and the other, that there's a kind of a lack of understanding of what your issues are over there versus what our issues are in Sedona and the Verde Valley. Is there any way to bridge that kind of gap?
Well, I think we've worked real hard to bridge that gap the 2020 cycle. Jay Ruby is working for LD6 for the ADLCC over in Camp Verde and, on the other side of the hill. And he's, what I would say is, I feel like we sent our best organizer over to that side of the hill to help organize and get things moving over there and work very hard for, Coral Evans and Felicia French. And I feel like that effort has been highly organized and seen as one of the most competitive races in the state, and we frankly sent our best help over there, and with Jay's connection over there, you know, we also at times had like 80 volunteers from this side of the Hill making, you know, phone calls or in the early part of the campaigns doing canvassing, for the LD6 side of the Hill, which is, you know, over in Camp Verde. So I feel like, we've made a major effort this year in connecting like that. The other thing that's, happened, that's been really wonderful is, you know, we worked carefully with Kathy Rutherford, but Holly Plug is, also on our executive committee and active in all of our meetings. And I feel like she's been marvelous for, keeping us connected to you guys' side of the Hill and, making sure that we always had, knew what was going on and what considerations, you know, there were that needed, attention. So I feel like we've had, really strong, working together in this last year. And the, you know, the LD6 group is, formed from people from both sides of the Hill too. And so I think we really worked on organizing this year to make sure that was different in 2020. And I feel like we've pulled it together, you know, at least as well as we could. And with Zoom meetings, frankly, yeah, with everybody attending Zoom meetings, it's just as easy for people from, you know.
It doesn't matter where they are, right? They could be in New Jersey. And it would,
yeah, right. Yeah. It's just as easy for people from the Verde Valley to attend as our own people. The physical, you know, the geography of the layout of the, you know, county, we really can't change, you know, but it's just sort of like how county government is, half the county meetings to that side of the Hill too. I think that, you know, we as a party know that we have to try and work together even stronger. And so we've tried to be really supportive of, you know, the organization over there and make sure that we're getting the vote out.
I think it's extraordinarily strong organization over here. Klaus, did you have another question for John?
Is this your first run for public office, John?
Yes, this is my first run for public office. I've been a very fortunate man. I've spent my life as a Whiskey Row businessman. I've always had retail on Whiskey Row here in Prescott. And, but I feel like that experience of always being available, accessible, and, always talking to people has prepared me pretty well for, being an accessible county supervisor. And I think that's kind of what, people have often felt like they don't know their county supervisors. They don't have a connection to them. And I think that that's the big strength that I bring is that I've, been, talking with the public and enjoying it for 40 years here on Whiskey Row. But yeah, this is my first run for public office, and I'm still thinking it's got its possibilities of success. So we'll see if the first one's a charm. So,
and your first run for public office is right in the middle of the COVID epidemic. So that's a tough year to start running for public office, because it sounds to me like you're a guy who would like to go out and talk to everybody and sort of press the flesh and all of this thing. And you can't do that.
I've loved, you know, the, as you say, pressing the flesh. That's always been, you know, my stronghold. And, you know, with me having the largest art gallery in Prescott on Whiskey Row, you know, the Van Gogh's Ear is about a 4,000 square foot art gallery. I would have thought our art walk nights this year would have almost been like campaign events for me, where I was getting together with 200 or 300 supporters, you know, in an evening, and none of that's occurred. So I've become a very active telephone campaigner, and I'm lucky my wife, you know, has also joined in that and is, my best other caller. So plus I have a great team, and, you know, since everybody's had it is true that my opponent is meeting with people and without masks, you know, and, you know, you just have, this has been a year where Democrats have had to simply accept that Republicans are actively spreading the disease, and Democrats have chosen not to. So, you know, I think the public's going to be weighing that up in this election from the top down to, you know, a county supervisor position. But I would in no way have wanted to influence anybody to get together in a room. And our typical Yavapai County Democratic Party meetings were potlucks with 120 people where everybody brought dishes and shared food. And that seemed like that was the last thing anybody wanted to do.
It is absolutely the last thing to do in this thing. I think it's wonderful you're running, John. I wish you the best of luck. We've always wanted to see a lot of action over on your side. We understand how much harder it is to run over there than in places like Sedona, where we have a Democratic majority in the council. And you mentioned Holly Luke. I'm going to try to get Holly on because she's recently been elected to the Sedona City Council, for example.
Yeah.
And all I can say is Kathy Rutherford's the best organizer I've ever seen, COVID or not, you know?
Yeah, Kathy Rutherford has been an awesome leader over there. And like you say, Holly is an amazing activist, and she is, she has been the first time in, you know, that I've seen where, you know, we have someone from Door and from Sedona showing up for every single meeting and every single, you know, campaign steering committee meeting and things like that. And she just is been awesome in making us bringing us together.
It's just great you're running. I hope you have a chance. I don't know how much time we've got. Not very much. You mentioned water on your website as an issue, and I know we spent a lot of time talking about the prison and jail facilities. But do you have, we're in the second year of having no monsoon, and I do a lot of hiking in the forest. It's very, very dry out there.
Yeah, I do a lot of hiking, too, and it is very, very, very dry out there. I feel like that, grace of God that, you know, we haven't, gone up in flames, as badly as California in this central part of Arizona. So I feel like and my degree is in forestry, so I know full well what the danger is and, we're not mitigating it anywhere near well enough, but, water is, I believe, the biggest issue that we will face in the future. And I believe that the current state water policy is pretty much a farce. I think we're trading paper water certificates that basically were, allocated by Bruce Babbitt's 1980s water policy system, and nothing's been changed since then. And it's a huge topic as far as all the different ways it affects us, but our municipalities are given basically water credits to, play with, and they are, trading them for development. And I feel like that, we need major changes in our state water policy system, and the county should have a very active role in forming a countywide water plan. That is not possible without changes from the, state legislature. But Bruce Babbitt, who signed the current water policy into effect, completely agrees with the statements that I've just made. He thinks that we should have more local control of water, and the whole state water policy needs revision.
That's a whole separate show.
Right now, is there's a couple active water management areas, and within those areas, which is like Prescott and Prescott Valley and Peoria, and there's one in Phoenix. They were measuring the water in those areas, and measuring how much we take out and how much we recharge, which leaves the other 90% of the state where we're not measuring the water. So I really think that we have to get to a point where we have rural water management areas, as well as ones within our municipalities. And we actually, we're not measuring anything. And without measuring anything, we don't know what we're doing with our water. So we have no idea how much water is coming out of wells throughout the county, and I believe in science, so I think we have to start with the whole revision of our water policy. And I think that as a county supervisor, and if I can get other county supervisors on board, we need to force the state legislature to, there's been bills introduced, they've just never gone anywhere. And, you know, we need to force the state legislature to completely change how water is traded and allocated in the state.
Is this a partisan issue? It sounds like a nonpartisan issue.
I would say water. It's a nonpartisan issue because it's going to affect us all, into the future. I mean, it's definitely going to affect us all. Where it gets a little partisan is probably you can have some of your rural water users say that, well, I have my 2.5-acre parcel. I have my right to drill my well. And, that's how county policy has been. We frankly cannot continue to put uncounted straws in the ground and not measure how much is drawn out.
On that note, I think we have to wrap it up. We're out of time. I really appreciate you coming on the show, John. Hope we can have you on again. I mean, we could do a whole show on the water situation, because I think if people don't understand the importance of county supervisors, they don't understand how the whole water policies in Arizona work. It's extremely complicated. So hopefully we can get you on the show again.
All right.
As county supervisor, John Lutz. He has a website, folks. Do a search on his name.
Go to votejohnlutz.com. That's the easiest way to find my website for my candidacy. Just votejohnlutz.com, LUTES.
Thank you for being with us, John. We've got the show next week is the former chief of staff of Homeland Security. He has now endorsed Joe Biden. He has a whole lot of insider information on the Trump administration. He's met with the president many times. So if you want to know what the Trump administration looks like from the inside, tune into our show next week. It's pre-recorded. And we want to urge everybody to vote. It's time to drop in your ballots in the drop boxes rather than mail them in. And of course, if you want to go to the polls, I think there shouldn't be any negative feeling about that. Going to the polls is certainly your right. And I think at least here in Arizona, it's organized so that people have masks and they have spacing and so forth and so on. So I want to thank everybody for being with Democratic Perspective. Tune in next week. We have a very, very important show with a major Trump official. Thank you.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZL. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.